So my obsession will start with The Miz. And joining me now is my pitching expert, 755 himself, because he was the winning pitcher in the game in which Hank Aaron hit his 755th home run. Formerly known, and here's how I introduce him. Now joining us is 755, formerly known as the Doctor of Pitching and Jerry Augustine. 755, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Can you feel it, Homer? Baseball in air, you can feel it. I know you can.
Yeah, because I'm all excited about Miz. I want you to have a schedule for me. I know you're doing work for the Brewers again. When he's pitching next? When's the next time he's going to pitch?
Well, it just depends on the – they have some off days early in this season. I think it's worked out really good for them. They had an off day today, and then an off day, I believe it's next Thursday. So they'll be able to space him out a little bit depending on how many pitches that he threw yesterday. So I think he'll go with his regular start next time, because they have off days, and it'll be interesting to see how he performs the next time out. But he was really, really good yesterday. And
explain what is really, really good to you, because I know it's not the same for me or others who just notice the strikeouts.
I like a guy who has Miz has been a guy who last year came into the game and had to learn a little bit about who he was in a major league level and how he had to do it. And I'll tell you, you couldn't ask for a better way to come out.
Okay. Okay. Like hold on. I hate to interrupt, but you say stuff. You need the junior high level. I have no idea what you're talking about. All I know is the guy throws smoke. Hey, buddy, smoke is coming. So I don't know what you're going to do, but you can't handle my smoke. Maybe I'll throw other stuff every now and then. So I don't know exactly what you're saying, but I heard Murph before the season opener, and he talked about, like, he was pretty tough. He was really good. Then he kind of lost it. Then he had to reteach himself, and he was he spoke more, Murph did, about how impressed he was in the playoffs, given how he clearly had to respond or he had to adjust. All right, so now, since I explained the rest of the junior high baseball people there with me, all right, explain kind of what you're talking about.
I talk about being able to execute pitches that you need to throw. You know, I think when you look at a baseball pitcher, there's two ways you look at it. You can look at them analytically and say, hey, you know what, when you throw this curveball in certain counts, or you throw this curveball or fastball in a certain area, you've had this much success. That's the analytical part. That's the part of baseball that has come on in the last 10 years or so.
Yes, because they have all the numbers.
Been big with it. But there's another part of it. It's called the physical and the mental part of it. The physical part is being able to execute what you need to execute, and the mental part is just saying, you know what, I have a game plan. I know where I'm successful. I know what I have to do in situations. When I get to a certain count, I know where I have to throw it, and have that mental power to say, you know what, I'm going to execute that game plan. And I think that's where Miz has really gained a lot from last year when Murph was talking about him in the playoffs. He went out in the playoffs, and he executed not only analytically like we talked about earlier, physically and mentally, got out there and understood what he needed to do in that game to be successful. He went out, he had an idea, and he executed, and he did an outstanding job. He's one of those guys, when you talk about him, you got to put him I put him already in the category of schemes, because I think he's got that kind of stuff overall with all his pitches now already.
Excuse me, you're talking about the guy with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right.
No, come on, Jared. Come on, 755. You can't.
Yes, I can.
Okay,
I'll
explain.
Tell you what.
Explain. That guy's velocity, unhittable. All right, velocity.
Velocity, location, being able to execute two different types of breaking balls, having a changeup. Everything is not perfected right, but he's in that stage where Skeens was a couple years ago.
Oh, he's where Skeens was a couple years ago. All right, okay. Well.
Yes. And so when you see that and you see him execute the way he is doing now with the confidence that he has, I just really like what he's doing. I think he's got a chance to be something very, very special in Milwaukee. He's got that personality that you can just see it. It beams us in. I can't wait for the next time to go out because I understand what I can do, and I'm going to go out and do it. And I credit the Brewers for that, for not bringing him up too early, but allowing him to work with Chris Hook and Henderson, and allowing him to perform, to go out and do the things that he has to do to be a perfectionist, and that's what he does.
All right, now back to the junior high level. All right, you can tell me where I'm wrong here. So I'm now the Miz. I get on the mound. I'm thinking is.
Yep.
All right. When am I going to throw my fastball? Where am I going to throw my fastball? And I want them to know they can't hit. So then I got to throw stuff where they think the fastball's coming, and I throw. All right. So let's say the fastball, right? Are there certain spots we should watch that, or does it depend on the hitter? Right? When you can throw it 101 to 104, yep. All right, I'm throwing a fastball first pitch because I want to get ahead in the count, and they can't hit it if I throw it in the right spot. What do you think of my theory?
Well, I think of the theory, it's the old theory that's been in baseball forever, and it's when you pitch and you go in the game, and it says when in doubt, you go down and out, and in order to win, you got to pitch in. And that you take that theory right there, and where do pitchers have pitched for many years of baseball? Where do they go when they need to be successful? They go down and away, down and out,
right.
Really be able to handle that corner. But in order to keep young players or keep hitters honest, you got to throw the ball on the inside. And I think that's one thing that Miz does already. He's got that two-seamer and a four-seamer. When he explodes the four-seam fastball up in the middle part in, he's unhittable when God has a good command. But yet, he has that great ability to throw the ball in the outside corner and uses secondary pitches effectively. So it just goes by the old. Baseball doesn't change, Homer. It won't change. It's always going to stay the same. And I said that, but like I just said, when in doubt, you pitch down and out. In order to win, you got to pitch in. And when you do that, and you do it with a good idea of where you want to locate it, you're going to be successful.
Talking with 755, formerly known as the doctor of baseball, a doctor of pitching, and Jerry Augustine. And in fact, we are joined right now by 755 on the Yingling Hotline. Now, we have nothing in common. You are a phenomenal pitcher, but we have one thing in common. Neither of us threw 101.
That's right.
All right. So if you could have thrown that fast, how would it have changed how you would have pitched?
I don't think it would have changed anything, really. I think I still would have went with the theories that you have to do in order to win baseball. And I think what you have to do is you have to be able to go out and execute a game plan. And I think, like I said earlier, I thought the Brewers did an outstanding job with Miz, because we were looking for Miz for a couple years and saying, where is this kid? This kid, we hear so much about him. He does well in the minors. Why isn't he up there? Well, they kept him down there because Chris Hook has such a great understanding of how to develop a player, along with Jim Henderson now, where they go, where Chris Hook is that guy who talks about the mental part of the game, that physical part of the game, having a good delivery, being able to control the strike zone, where do you put your feet on the mound, where Henderson is more that analytical guy saying, hey, you know what? I've got a fastball that's alive. Wherever you throw it, this four-seam fastball in is unhittable. This two-seam fastball down the way is going to get a ground ball. And you take those and you combine those, and I think that's why you see so many pitches on this burst set be successful, because they learn what they do, what they do well, but they take it and they use it to perfection. And that's where they come into games, they perform, they execute, and then they win.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm thrown inside because I want to scare the hitter. If I can throw 101 plus, I want to scare him. Now, there are a number of pitchers that throw 99 to 101, so it's not like you're – I don't think it's like Nolan Ryan. Am I right there that Nolan Ryan threw significantly faster than anyone else? There wasn't really anyone that close to him, whereas there are a number of pitchers, right, in the big leagues that throw close to as hard as Miz.
That's right. That's very, very – you're very right. You see a lot of guys in that 96 to 99, even 100, and sometimes – harder than that, a little bit different than Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan's arm was electric. He had that great ability to throw that ball up in his zone, and the ball would just take off, and it would explode on you. And he could throw that ball down zone as he got a little bit older, throwing that two-seamer down. He could locate it. But he also had a great breaking ball. Nolan Ryan had a great breaking ball, and he could command it for strikes. And when he had that, he was extremely tough to hit. So when you're talking about a guy like Miz has got that electric arm where he can throw. He throws mid three-quarter arm. He's got good movement on the ball. He can locate it. He can throw it 99. He can throw it 102. But he's got the secondary pitches that he's been able to locate. See him throwing that good slider now, good cutter that he throws. He's able to throw that changeup effectively when he wants to. Those are the things that's going to make him that pitcher, that elite guy that you want to see in the game of baseball, that Skeens-type guy. And I think he has all the qualities to be there.
All right, you said he has two types of curveball. Explain that.
That's right. Two types of curveball. The type of breaking ball would be a type of a breaking ball where you have a bigger break. It's more of a 12 to 6 rotation on it, and it breaks from from 12 to 6 straight, kind of right, straight down on an angle. And then he has what they call the cutter or a slider. And a slider is more of a thing where you throw it harder, you throw it a little bit
right, and
course,
it breaks
short.
And you think the hitter thinks it's a fastball, and he has no chance. If you have a great slider, I don't know, it was Dave's, the pitcher is unhittable because they think it's a fastball and it breaks so that they miss it and they can't hit it any time. Am I overselling that?
No, we go back to the stage when what made Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns, remember the 1 year he was like 6-8 with a 8 ERA, and they put him in a science lab, and when he went in the science lab, they taught him that his slider had tight spin. If you could locate it, you're going to be successful. What made Corbin Burns? The cutter or the slider. He was able to throw it for different speeds.
Can you do me
locations.
A favor and just call it a slider and not a cutter? When you say cutter, then you say, and for old people out there, a slider. It's the same pitch, right? They just call it a cutter?
It is. There's a lot of pitches that are same, but I would be like you just said, it's more of a slider. Those are sliders in there. You can throw sliders different ways.
Well, if he's throwing a fastball at 101, his slider could be 98, 90. What is it? How close does it have to be in the fastball to look like a fastball?
More of a 5 miles an hour. I'd say 95, 96. And it just depends on how you finish it.
Right, but if you threw your fastball at 90, then your slider has got to be around 85, right? I mean, it's got to look like a fastball for the hitter to be confused, correct?
Yeah, you might be able to get a little bit better out of it. You might, depending on how you throw it, you might get in that 87, 88 category.
All right.
But it's usually right around 3 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour difference. And that's where Miz is. So he's learned that he's got confidence in all his pitches. I think the ceiling on this young man is just, it's going to be fun to watch him this year because they're going to watch him. They're going to watch his starts. They're going to make sure that he gets the work in. But it's his confidence and the way he goes about his job now. That last year, pitching in the playoffs, that has made him such a better pitcher starting out this year because he's been able to go out and do something on a big stage, and he's been able to be successful
with the pressure. Yeah, that's the pressure. All right, who is, when he was at his best, the best starting pitcher ever for the Milwaukee Brewers? I'm not saying he was the best. I'm saying when at his best, he was the best the Brewers have ever had during that stretch.
I'll tell you what. I think when we had CeCe, there was nobody better.
Ooh,
I don't think there's anybody better than CeCe Sabathia. He came over and he was dynamic with his breaking ball. He had that big break ball, the cutter and the slider. But he was so aggressive in the strike zone. He was very confident and really could locate his pitches. I think CeCe, for the time he was here, I thought was probably one of the best the Brewers have had. I thought Pete Vukovic was very good when you got him in a ballgame because he could locate his pitches. Don Sutton was very good when he could get to locations. There were a lot of guys who could really throw and make pitches and get the pitches where you want them, and they were very successful. I think Mike Caldwell is much different style pitcher, but was very, very good because he was more of a guy that located the sinker, and he could throw it at different speeds, and he was very successful that way. But I think probably the guy that I would appreciate the most, I think, was probably CeCe Sabathia.
Okay, yeah, his numbers were incredible. So, Miz, and I don't care about his whole name. He's the Miz.
That's right. He is
Jacob
the Miz, and he will always be the Miz.
I think he goes by the Miz, right? I think to make sure
that, when he throws so good, you got to put a the in there.
Yeah, he's the Miz. I just look at what his ratio is, walks to strikeouts is, but maybe walks isn't, a certain number is okay when he's in a bad situation. Just walk the guy. He'll strike out the next. Or how are you looking at his stats in terms of, go ahead.
The one thing I really like about him, Homer, is he's really got great command of his delivery. Everything starts with a delivery. And the one thing you always talk about a delivery is, when you pitch and you have the delivery that he does, is when do you go to the plate? When do you start delivering the ball towards the plate? And what you'll see Miz do, his front leg, when he raises that front leg up, He won't go to the plate until it gets to the highest point. Once it gets to the highest point, that's his key, that he's going to separate his hands and drive and throw the ball to the plate. That's being very consistent. That's having a good delivery.
That's what you watch.
Arm in a, yes, that's what I watch, and getting that arm in a good position to throw. When he does that, every pitch that he throws looks like the same thing. A fastball looks like a slider coming out of his hand. A curveball looks like a changeup. They all look the same because he's got that good, sound delivery. He doesn't start forward, he doesn't get rushed to the plate, and he has good delivery where the ball comes out of the hand at the same spot almost every time.
And we can cut this conversation because we're going to talk about the Miz so many times this year that when you come on, they're going to go, oh, no, 75, 755. Are you going to talk about the Miz again and again and again? Yep. So whatever we didn't get to this time, we'll get to next time, and you're back with the Brewers on radio, right? Is it post-game?
I'll be back on Monday. One thing, Homer, I promise you, when we do the Miz, I'll come up with something new on him every time we talk.
I know you will. You will. There's no doubt. All right.
I love pitching.
And especially good pitching. Come on, you have to wish when you watch him. Damn, if I could have thrown 102, who knows how many games I would have won. What?
Baseball is so much fun to be on that hill in front of our fans and the pitch in Milwaukee. But I'm going to tell you what, to have something that you can do like that, elite, oh, my gosh. It would have been unbelievable.
755, you're the best. Thanks.
All right. Anytime, Homer.
And each time I'll ask you how many people have called you 755 since we last talked. That is
755,
formerly known as Jerry Augustine and the Doctor of Pitching. He was the guest on the Yingling guest hotline. Jeff from Jeff Sports. How much is a Miz card, Miz autograph, Miz jersey next?